Tremors cold below 6. Memory transcription subject Charlene Thummer, director. Date standardized human time January 24, 2137. I blinked, unable to comprehend the madness I have heard. Then an assault. I stammered, trying to get my thoughts in order. We have barely enough personnel to keep guard of all our sectors, and you want to launch a braking assault. 017 nodded as she laid her data pad on the desk. I've gotten word that 05 himself is present at their little hideout planning one on us, she growled. If we don't throw everything we have at them out before they have a chance to plan it out, we're going to get boxed in and killed. 017, I understand tensions are high, but nothing, she screamed, punching the table. We're all sick and tired of your indecisiveness in the matter at Paul. I know 05's got something planned that's gonna get us all killed, and those stupid prisoners aren't going to just hand him over if we ask pretty please and twiddle our tails like you keep doing. My venal assistant gave me a pat on my shoulder, trying to comfort me as I absorbed this stupidity. I also didn't like the glare he was getting from the others, but I would deal with that later. Thank you, Trelvin, I sighed, giving his arm an appreciative pat before turning back to 017. The problem is that from what cameras we have access to, they are all somehow holed up in Sector 20. Do you really expect me to sign off on a plan to attack somewhere you can't enter? I'll find out how they're getting in and out. We captured one of their little guards when he went on patrol, dragged him back to Sector 6, and we're close to cracking him. He'll tell us everything, and when he does, we're storming the place. I don't want more deaths when we can try and stop them without bloodshot, I said, clenching my paws. Oh, Brock's sake, wake up. We're going to have to kill someone to get them to stop rebelling. Even if we arrest everyone, we don't have the food to keep them all alive anyways. Better to cull the weeds than risk the whole garden. I balked a bit of her phrasing, and Trelvin did as well. It seemed he wished to speak, but he caught himself. I gave a snort of frustration. So you're willing to kill dozens to keep things the way they were? To just end the lives of the people that were entrusted to us by the Federation? Someone has to beat, and if it's not you, I'll commit to it, she said. Her eyes squinted at me, then more pointedly at Trelvin. We had to agree to their deaths being a potential necessity when we were assigned here. Are you having second thoughts regarding that stipulation? I'm not having second thoughts about anything, I said, trying to convince myself as much as I was her. I never had a thought of ill will towards them in the first place. On the contrary, I can see you're not even pretending to hide your contempt anymore. My assistant has nothing to do with this matter, and you've yet to take an eye off of him. You ever think it's because he might be in on everything? 017 growled. That he could be the reason we keep getting caught on the backhaul. What if he's been in cahoots with them this entire time? He's yet to have left my side once during this entire lockdown. He'd never have had the time to do so. Maybe. But you better watch yourself. Everyone's having doubts about your leadership, directed, and one little misstep towards favoring the Venlil over our actual job could cost you quite dearly. With that, 017 took her leave. Once the door closed, I sighed and let my face fall into my paws. Ma'am, you have another appointment with the rest of the staff in administration about redirecting resources. Would you like me to? We can't afford a delay, Trelvin, much as I'd love to just take 10 seconds to breathe. Let's get this over with. He and I walked out of the office and into the main area for administration. Plenty of facile eyes were laser focused on Trelvin, the hostility palpable in the air. One in particular started to walk alongside me, Frassen, if I remembered his name right. Frassen looked over at Trelvin. Charlene, how much have you been speaking with your assistant? He's been at my side for a long while, why? I asked cautiously. Frassen snorted, tell me, Trelvin, was it? What is your opinion on your boss? Oh, well, I adore working alongside her. She's a wonderful boss, she cares so much about us, even now. I always hoped that one day I could be half as good a leader as she's, Trelvin said, his face flushing orange. I wish I could reach out to hold his port, but I had to keep professional. And what of her recent failings? Frassen pointedly asks. Surely as their assistant you must have an opinion on those. How they can be improved, perhaps? That was a trick question, the trap. I wanted to cut it off, but with all eyes on me now, with the revolt leaping to Trelvin's defense, would likely cause whatever control I still wield to slip even further from my grasp. So I could only lower my ears in worry as my assistant answered. I even think IW what I mean to say is that while we're in quite a precarious situation, I think she's handling it as best as we can. Yes, things aren't going well, but how could anyone have prepared for a situation like this? I think everyone's been too harsh on her, especially since she's doing her best to keep everyone from trying to kill one another. I let my tail wag a bit at the comforting praise Trelvin gave me. If I could, I'd spare a moment to hug him and thank him, show some appreciation for his hard work and dedication. However, the crowd seemed to draw closer to a few other fussels starting to walk around us and eyeing Trelvin. So just a loyal little pup for her, is that it? That's the angle you're gonna play it. the loyal little kiss ass. Drelvin looked at the fossil nervously. Ben loyal. She's my boss. Frassen leaned closer. Ben, perhaps you would like to answer one question then.
Sure. I can try my best. How are the prisoners accessing Sector 20?
There was a pause as my assistant blinked twice.
What?
I have no clue. If I knew that, I'd have told the director herself.
Why would you think I know?
He said, panicking as his tail curled around his own leg.
So that you would keep the headquarters of your fellow prisoners from the warden.
So that you would be able to keep drinking that booze they've been spreading across this facility.
So that you can keep passing information to them.
Why in Sildelic's name would I do that? I'm not an alcoholic and I would never sell out the director or any of you for some cheap drink. He cried, tears starting to form in his eyes.
Don't you lie to me, Venil. That's all your kind are good for, causing everyone else trouble and pouring enough booze down your throats to kill a Mazik.
But I don't have any contact with them.
As if on cue, one of the surrounding fossils stepped forward, a silver thermos in their paws.
Trelvin's thermos. Frassen took it and held it in triumph.
Then explain this.
He twisted off the cap and coming out of the thermos neck was a neck of another smaller bottle.
Frassen pulled out the glass, its liquid sloshing around inside as he did so. Alcohol and not from outside.
When we tested it, it was seaweed-based ethanol. The same seaweed that's found outside the facility.
And who are the only ones that are suspected of having a still making seaweed alcohol?
Trelvin stuttered, words failing.
Frassen blared as the other fossil closed in. So why would you lie about having no contact with the prisoners?
My blood boiled as they tried to frame my assistant for something he could have never been involved in, and I bared my teeth in a snarl.
They wanted a target to pin all of their frustration on, but I won't let them use Trelvin for this sick need of theirs.
I stepped between the other fossil and Trelvin, slamming my prosthetic leg for emphasis as I held an arm out as if to shield him.
That's enough. I've never seen Trelvin ever drink from that thermos at any time in the last 6 months.
If he's been in cahoots with them, then why is that thermos covered in dust and still filled to the brim with alcohol?
It's been lying about in his room gathering dust.
Did you run tests to see how old the liquid is?
I argued.
The age doesn't matter, it's booze. It could have been fermenting in their little hideout for all we know.
Frassen retorted. We've got no clue how much they've got stored in there.
That THAT's not even my own thermos. It was a gift from another Venil from before the lockdown started.
Trelvin stuttered, gobsmacked by the accusations.
One of the workers gave it to me when we had a holiday party.
Oh, that it's someone else's alcohol excuse, very clever.
We're not falling for that, Venil.
His name is Trelvin.
I shouted.
Oh yes, let's keep in mind the name of the little traitor. Let's be nice to the person who would happily let the prisoners in when we're most vulnerable.
He poked a claw to Trelvin's chest.
You think we're going to sit back while you people plan to kill us? That will let you murder us in our sleep.
No, you aren't getting any of us.
You aren't going to help those prisoners kill everyone here.
Before I could react, someone behind me pulled me out of the way, tripping me over as Trasser made his move. They swung the bottle in their hand, squarely hitting Trelvin's cheek.
A wet thud resounded from him as he collapsed to the floor.
The bottle remained intact from the blow, but the situation was made no less worse on behalf of that.
My friend was bleeding. I had to do something.
No, stop this right now.
I screamed, thrashing against the fossil holding me back.
Let me go.
They redoubled their efforts to restrain me as the other fossil ganged up on Trelvin, kicking and punching him while he was on the floor.
I couldn't see him anymore, not behind the bodies of fossil assaulting him, but I could hear the horrendous sound of the abuse.
Flesh impacting flesh, grunts and bleats, then the splatter of orange blood on the ground.
Just tell us what we want to know and this stops.
Frassen shouted, a sadistic glee in his voice.
Stop. Please.
Trelvin sobbed. You don't wanna die here. You think we bracking do. Now tell us.
Where's the entrance to the hideout?
I screamed as I tried to break from the grip of the fossil holding me, another one holding me back to keep me from intervening.
As they continued to mulch, my friend O17 walked in, a sickeningly pleased look on her features.
Ease up a little bit, we have the information we need from our other prisoner, she said.
Let me know if he confesses anything, though.
Other prisoner.
I remembered that she'd mentioned another Venil before, seemed that she was able to get him to crack after all.
Something that made this debauchery all the more cruel.
If you got your information, then get off of Trelvin.
I screamed.
All at once they backed away from him, leaving the bleeding, bruised and broken heap of a Venil alone on the floor, coughing up blood as he curled in on himself.
The fossil behind me let me go and I swung my arm back to catch their snout with my elbow before I dove for my assistant.
Trelvin, someone help me get him medical help.
I shouted, poor shaking with unease.
I had no clue what to do to help him.
If something was broken, lifting him could worsen the problems, but I wanted to check for anything else.
Around me no one moved or said anything, only staring at the Venil.
Are you all deaf? Get someone who can help him. Now! I shouted at the top of my lungs. The crowd dispersed immediately, the Fussle all running away as though they'd seen an Arxa. Frassen backed away slowly, mouth moving as if trying to find words for what happened. Tears fell from his eyes as he turned tail and ran off screaming for a medic as if he hadn't just savagely beaten Trelvin. 017 approached with a cold uncaring gaze towards my mangled friend. Hope you're happy with how things have turned out, Chalene, she remarked coolly. So desperate to not get anyone hurt that you ended up getting your little toy broken. Speak about him like that anymore and I'll have you thrown out of an elk without a dye suit. I growled at her, baring my teeth in a moment of weakness. Don't act like this isn't your fault. No one approved the idea of you hiring a Venel to work here to begin with. They never belonged at our side, not as actual authority. If you'd have just listened to me, to the rest of us, we'd have quelled this already. But no, you kept dallying around for months on end, acting like there was some kind of perfect magical solution. All while the prisoners got more and more anxious with each passing day. This rebellion and the fear our staff have because of it are all your fault for letting it get this bad. She stepped around us, circling over Trelvin like a wild predator. I've ordered the security to begin preparations for attacking the rebellion's little hideout. Already got a majority vote from the rest of the overseers. Then I'll veto it, I said. I'm not letting you. Click. 017 pulled out a pistol and pointed it not at me but at Trelvin. Fear gripped my heart like ice cold chuckles. I have a 3/4 majority already. Enough to overturn any veto, but that would be tedious. Taking up time we don't have to spend. So I'm going to veto your vetoes, and if you have a problem with that, well then if I can't convince you to care about the people who actually matter in this facility, then I can only use the waste you do seem to care about. I couldn't take my eyes off the situation, the worst scenario already threatening to override my sanity. So she waved the gun at Trelvin's head. Do you have any objections to the proposal? If so, you'll have to speak up. My little friend here is a bit hard of hearing and very eager for your answer. So eager that I dare say they are about to explode. I stared down the barrel and shivered. Oh, 017, they'll, I know that. Vale's pad dinged as I spoke and she quickly brought it up to check the message. Oh, it seems like the teams are already prepared. Des, my little friend's not the only one that's eager to go, she said, chuckling to herself. So are you ready to approve the assault? She said, pad presenting the authorization key to me. I stared at her for a moment, then down at Trelvin. A shaky paw rose to her pad as I pressed the authorization key. Vale's tail wagged. That was a good choice. And unlike you, I plan to keep our people safe. The people who actually matter in this facility. Her words meant nothing to me as I leaned down to cradle Trelvin's head as he sobbed. My tears fell alongside his own as I wept for what was to come. Dremors called below 7. Memory transcription subject Trent Thumma Rebellion General. Date standardized human time January 24th, 2137. The pause had passed enough for nerves to hit. None of us had expected to be part of a revolt. The fight against people who would want us dead. If anything, we had been taught all our lives to run from people like that. To hide and pray that they would move on past, not grab the nearest object and hit them. We were scientists for Solglik's sake. Maintenance people. Especially mine foremen. We weren't soldiers. But now we had to be. Or else we would all die. So naturally we're all making great use of the bar. I drained my glass, the burning liquid pouring down my throat as I tried to grapple with everything going on. To think this whole time we've been prisoners to these bracking facile, blissfully unaware that we were just slaving away at random tasks, busy work to keep us occupied until we withered and died. Never contributing a thing to society because that was the opposite of what the Federation really wanted. Jaivan had at the very least been very transparent with us, with his plans, his data and his feelings on us. While we could do without the sass of the old mutt, I had to admit that we'd have been bebracked without his intel. Learning about the facility, why we're here, it would have been terribly demoralizing if we didn't have a plan of action to redirect our focus. Instead of just sitting around drowning in the gloom and doom of it all, my ragtag rebellion was busy preparing themselves for our mission. He also seemed to have taken some kind of interest in me, following me around and practically begging for me to give him an order in all but name. Had to send him to the weapons room to help organize. The hope was to first build some weapons beyond the metal rods we already had. Having so many scientists around meant we had a lot of people with the knowledge of how to make things go boom. And thanks to the maintenance team, we had people who could take things like the pipes in the walls and assemble them into things that could work close enough to guns. The problem was our ability to make enough of those things that could direct all that towards the Fussle. At present we only had 10 of these pipe guns and enough bullets so they would each have only 12 shots each. Including the few guns we were able to seize from the security, that meant we could arm 25 people in total. 25 people. With enough ammo for one magazine. Gerlint, I called to the bartender to get me another bottle. The Venlil flicked his ears back in the negative. That was your second full bottle. Can't let our general get wasted. Sorry, sir. I huffed in frustration. The burden of responsibility. Find Fairaf, I sighed. Anything to report on morale? Not trying to spy on anyone, only want to know the general feel or specific worries. Jirl inside his ears lowering. There's a lot of nerves going around. And Jaivan hasn't been making any allies either with his attitude. Who could have guessed? The Mutt's not doing much except reminding us all that we could die at the turn of a key and the push of a button. Not much of a motivator. Well, that's why we look up to you instead, Jirlin said. You rallied us, organized us, and you're so quick on the uptake that I don't think we'd survive without you. Jirlin, thank you, I said, motioning my ears in thanks. It helps to remember what we're all fighting for. Not just our lives, but the pride of Venlil everywhere. To be locked up and imprisoned, hidden away on our own home, well, there's an insult so grave I don't think there's enough words for it. He signaled agreement, his tail lightly wagging. I glanced over at the empty glass still in my hand and set it aside. Well, I huffed, better get back to my job. Check in on our armory. Sounds good, sir. Grellin bowed. I bid ye. The lights changed. Red. The small chatter of the bar instantly silenced. It was an alarm. One of our scouts had seen something. I leapt to my paws. They're making their move. It was like a stampede started with how fast everyone moved. I had no doubt that many of us wished to run, but we had nowhere to go. Still didn't stop us from a bit of panic, but there were already several people picking up tables to move into position. Despite it all, the panic and the drinking, my fellow rebels were focused enough to prepare for the worst even in a moment like this. I helped haul a heavy steel slab of a table into position for cover while Jirlin checked his pistol, taking a few deep breaths to try and calm down. They're coming, he whispered to himself, they're here to kill us. Oh stars, give me strength. I wanted to offer words of comfort, but I was cut off by a Godred running up to me with a pair of pipe guns in her paws. Here. Iklik tossed one into my hands, clip is already in the chamber. Remember, you have to pull the lever back for each shot. Behind us, I heard a clatter among the ceiling plates, the grinding screech of metal on metal as the plating revealed familiar Fasolt and some scouts from our own ranks. Trent, sir, they're coming fast. One warned. They're not even checking any of the other sectors, they are gunning right for us. One of your captured agents likely talked, Jaivan said, coughing from the vent's dust. Knowing the tactics my former colleagues employed, it was only a matter of time. Guards, take flanking positions in the back corners. He ordered. The well-armed Fasol guards hopped down and spread out, taking up four positions with wide lines of sight across the room aiming at the doors. How long do we have until the Fasol arrive? I asked, looking up at the scouts. Not long, a few minutes at most, he said, eyes dancing between me and the doors. We should get everyone out while we can, sir. Right. Attention, everyone. Only six of us will be staying behind to delay the advance. Everyone else go into the other rooms and start evacuating the sect that we can hold them up in here for a while before running out of ammo. Worst comes to, I trail off looking at the distilleries. You're going to blow the whole place up with these makeshift booze brewers. Jaivan speculated. Yes. I don't care if we have to bring down the ceiling here, so long as we can save everyone else in the rest of the facility. That's our only goal now. Everyone here is counting on us not just to get them homed, but to expose the truth of this facility and all of the others like it. We can do our part for our species right here and now. I volunteer to stay behind. Grellin immediately declared, his back crouched against the table. I'm staying too. Iklik snorted, these bastards are gonna pay for keeping me here. We're fighting too, the two Fasol guards agreed with a wave of their pistols. I never agreed with this situation, Pelvin added, never made sense. Yehalusha agreed while racking their pistol, after everything we've seen, I don't want to be remembered for being a prison warden. I wanted to help people, and if this is how I got to do it, then so be it. Before anyone else could speak, Yolsh marched forward with a pipe gun in their hands. Like Brak, I'm letting all of you have all the fun. Well, you're going to have to, I commanded, there's already me and Iklik here, we cannot risk the rebellion with all the leaders staying behind. I need the rest of you to make sure the plan goes through if we can't get out in time. Tren is right, Jaivan said. I'm going to need your best and brightest to pull this off. My other agents have already begun escorting Rala to our destination. We can't wait a moment longer. She's going to need someone there to keep her steady, Yolshe said, patting him on the chest. Take care of her. The Godji trembled a bit, his frustration clear. Yet despite his fierce desire to not abandon us, he finally acquiesced to my order. Brak. Fine. But if you die, I'll learn to swim just to drag your soggy sea corpse back up to the surface so I can cuss you out. I gave the Godred a firm pat on the chest, my tail signaling my understanding before motioning for him to go. Yolsh made a gesture with his claws over his heart, promising to see me again as he climbed up into the vents. They adjusted the plating to cover the entrance once more, and I was left with the other volunteers. Beside me sat the scout fiddling with his pistol. The sixth of our group. He looked nervous and I couldn't blame him. The security was just outside. And as if that thought brought them into being, there was a loud clang from the sector door. After another second, the metal rang out again. Then a third time. A fourth. Yet after that it went silent. I breathed a sigh of relief and knelt down against our barricade, placing my pipe gun against my shoulder. The door was too strong to just break through. That left only one other option. The bottom corner of the door began to glow. Sparks appeared and the line began to slowly move. They were cutting their way through. All six of us had their weapons armed and aimed at the entrance. In the back of the room, the two Farsal kept sweeping angles across the place, high-end rifles trained on the entrance. Behind the bar across from me sat Grellin, small bundles of makeshift grenades clattering in his paws along with his own pistol. Iklik sat across from my positioned in a corner booth with a pipe gun in her paws. I readied myself as well as the sparks flew across the entry. I heard a light whimper next to me. It was the scout. He looked to be a step away from panic, staring directly ahead at the sparking door. "Hey," I urged, brushing my tail against his back, "what's your name?" His wool bristled a little at the feel of my tail, but he relaxed himself as best he could and turned an eye to me. "Try Trasselt, sir." "Trasselt," I repeated, "thanks for staying behind. We're gonna make them regret imprisoning us here, and we're gonna make it back to our families. I promise you that." He flicked his ears in appreciation and turned his attention back to the door. He looked much more steady now. The sparking from the door stopped. Silence racked the air as everyone focused on the entryway, a cold breath creeping down my spine. I prayed to Solgalik that should I die here, at least I would see my son again. We waited. A blast of pressurized air cracked the door open, the heavy metal slabs crashing to the ground with an ear-splitting slam. Barely a second later, a wall of fire followed, whizzing through the air with menacing screams. We ducked for cover, the lick of fire barely far enough to keep from igniting my fur, but I could see the chemical agents from the flamethrowers dousing the furniture behind my position already. The crack of a rifle was followed by the cessation of flames as Fussel shot Fussel Lucius, covering fire, managing to claw out a few of the invading security's number already. "You're clear, fire," she shouted from her position in the back. I pressed the advantageous moment and popped up gun in paw and took aim. The silver visors of the facility's security reflected the flaming room we were now trapped in, but I found it in myself to squeeze the trigger. A hole blew open in the closest exterminator's chest and his weapon clattered to the ground, canister dousing the floor in a thick sludge of flammable material. Behind the one I killed, 10 more took their placed weapons at the ready as they prepared to douse the entire room in flames. But with the pull of my lever, the 10 became 9. They squeezed their triggers. "Spay, take cover," I ordered, ducking down. Grellin, however, didn't heed my warning. He primed a pair of makeshift grenades and tossed them into the approaching mass of exterminators. Before he could duck back down, I watched his coat get sprayed with liquid and jelly alike, hosing him in a concoction of cremation. He was burning. The explosion masked his screams. I had to duck back into cover with Trousel. It was then that I noticed the fire of my friend had moved. I looked over the table just in time to see his flaming form leaping through the door, 2 more grenades in his hands. I couldn't hear his last words, but he cried them with a fury that rang in my chest. "I won't forget that feeling. I won't." I grabbed Trousel, hauling us back into cover again. The detonation rocked us, nearly tumbling our own piece of cover on top of us. Trousel helped catch the sheet and pushed it up, setting it back in place as he started to cry. We'd witnessed the gruesome death of one of our own right before us, but there was no time for the shock to set in, not yet. Not while we were still being shot at. Not while the security rushed over the bodies of their own after us. The pinging of metal on metal let us know the Fussel with rifles had now moved up, the exterminators all likely either dead or incapacitated enough for the more elite security to take up positions. A few shots rang out and I heard someone scream, thankfully someone entering the doorway. Our own Fussel allies were certainly carrying their weight and then some in this firefight. Peeking out from a lower angle, I fired 2 shots. One went wide, pinging the wall, but the other knocked a Fussel off of their balance, their knee joint blown open in a shower of blue gore. Just as they screamed in pain, they fell out of cover and another bullet pierced their head. Limp and quiet, their body fell to the floor. "Keep up the pressure, they're falling back," Lush called out, stepping out of cover. Firing another shot, I grazed the shoulder of a Fussel rifleman, sending him back idling in a panic. Their numbers meant nothing against our angle of ambush, and it seemed like they weren't expecting this much of a resistance. Some of their number were already retreating, one I could spot even sprinting down the corridor. "Move up, we've got them on the back wall," Helvin said, cracking a chuckle. "Trend, get ready to evacuate, we can handle the stragglers," Lucia said. Both of our Fussel had moved up for better shots down the entrance, looking confident and professional, trying to keep them running. We were winning. Only us 5, and we were. A crack of a gun. Lucia jerked back, blue gore splattering behind from her skull. I felt something wet hit my snout. I knew what it was, but my mind refused to accept it. Telvin screamed as he went from precise careful shots to fully automatic, closing his firearm down the corridor. The one fossil who managed to put her down was riddled with a whole clip of bullets to the face, their chest, their arms, everything pulped into a gory paste. As Pelvin reloaded, I watched the scout beside me vomit at the sight. I couldn't blame him. If the alcohol wasn't keeping me numbed, I'd be a mess too. One second she was right beside us firing off against a common enemy. The next death. It was so quick. The sheer hollowness in her dead eyes, nothing. Like it had gone to a grave. An explosion of pain hit my ear, the orange blood staining my head. There was a hole in my ear, a reminder that my own grave might be closer than I care to think about. Yeah, that's right, Barkov. Pelvin said, firing a few more rounds down the hallway. We've got to get going now. They talked about calling in heavier support, and we don't have the caliber or the ammo to deal with their specialists. All right, everyone get ready to move out. We need to cover our tracks. Where's the detonator for the distilleries? I said, looking between the survivors. I think G. Grelin had it, Trizel said, wiping his mouth. I turned to see the absolute chaos that was the doorway, bodies and blood strewn around like an Arxa raid. I could see a crater and some orange-coated organs near the other side of the door, where Grelin made his sacrifice. Spey groaned. I'll do it, another voice said. Turning around, I saw Ullin limping out from behind an overturned chair, orange blood spewing from holes on her left knee and shoulder, stymied only by some tab she had hastily tied around the wounds. The Spey, is she doing here? She looked awful, but she had rage burning in her eyes. A rage that said even if I had noticed, I couldn't have done anything to send her away. I stayed behind, wait for them to get close and blow the whole thing up in their smug faces, she growled, holding her pipe gun out and pressing it into my paws. I'm not making it out of here like this, and I want to make them pay. I help rig the explosives, I know how to detonate it. Leave me and go. From her furious tone, I knew there'd be no arguing here. She was determined to take as many of them with her as she could. With a grunt, Iklik waddled over while holding her shoulder. It leaped blue. I hadn't even noticed she got shot, hadn't even heard her cry out about it. And by the look of determination on her face, I got the feeling she never would. You'd better spit in their eyes when they get in, she huffed to Ullin, make them regret the day they came here. Ullin huffed, waddling over to the still. I wished I had noticed them staying behind. I had said six of us would stay, not seven. But stay they had, catching a bullet in the process. Brock. Why did this have to happen? Okay. I bleated, trying to focus myself for command. I couldn't let this get to me when the plan still needed to go through. Ullin's keeping cover until they are all in the room. Everyone else fall back now. I pointed at Pelvin, who was trying to pick up Lucia's body. Leave them. We don't have time. I can't. We've been working together since basic. I can't leave her in this place if we're going to blow the whole thing up. He said, tears dripping onto Lucia's body. I know, and I'm sorry, I stated, trying to stay firm. But we can't let her body hold us back, we need to go. What, so we just bury her here? I can't. He barked, falling into his knees as he clutched Lucia's chest. I went over and grabbed one of his shoulders, Trousel joining in to help drag him away. She wouldn't want you to die. We're falling back. I'm sorry, but we have to. Everyone. Let's go. Pelvin howled, sounding as if he wanted to say her name but was too distraught to form the words. He didn't fight us, at least, and we dragged him up to the incline leading to the vents. His sobs echoed in the vents as I ushered the rest of our surviving number to our escape route. Turning back, I saw Ullin taking a deep swig of a fancy bottle with her good paw. Ullin. She glared at me, flicking her tail half-heartedly as if to shoo me off. This was going to be my celebratory bottle, you know, she said, almost growling. When I was going to go back and see my kids again. Graduation, marriage, I missed it all down here. They took everything. Only fair, I take as much as I can from them. Now break off and save everyone that matters, Dren. Kick the director in the teeth for me. I found myself at a loss for words. Of all the people to face death with fury and scorn, Ullin was not someone I could have even imagined doing so. I turned and climbed into the vents, hearing the distant click of paws far behind in the Battlethorn corridor outside the sector. Spey. I rushed through the vents, trying to cross the threshold for the sector's entryway before the stills could blow. Those fossil were closer than we thought. I pressed on, desperate to climb out of the blast radius. They are closing in. Move. There was shouting beneath me, the priming of rifles. Ullin screamed profanities the translator couldn't decipher. I tripped. A wave of pressure and heat threw me down the vent like a bullet tumbling down the barrel as my ears were struck by the thunderclap of several thousand tons of freezing ocean water crushing the structure of Sector 20. My ears rang and my companion slid through the vent ahead of me. I flew back as the emergency pressure gate slammed shut just as I soared through the thresholds, and we screamed as the vents ripped apart from the abuse of our bodies, sending us sprawling to the ground. I lifted myself, seeing the mounds of my companions moving but hearing nothing beyond the shrill ringing. The floor shook beneath us, reacting to the implosion of the sector. The massive set of doors before us were shut tightly, with nary a drop of water in sight. I rose to my feet, unable to keep hold of the two pipe guns as I shook. Helvin's body was heaving, tears still streaming as cried. Iklik's spines were bent on her back as she was tying a blue stained rag on her shoulder back into place, her mouth moving with words I couldn't hear. I opened my mouth, my ears feeling like they were popping. Slowly, sound started coming back, and as I looked around, I spotted Jaivan leaning on a far wall, puffing on an inhaler of some kind before trying to stifle a coughing fit. He had stayed behind to greet our escape. I had to admit I didn't expect that. "Are you okay?" Iklik shouted right next to me, only just now audible. "I think so," I said loudly, barely able to hear my own voice. "You landed on my bullet wound, so I'm a bit pissed," she said. At least Ulan made them pay. Your stupid friend nearly buried us in there as well," Jaivan shouted, coughing at the end. "I think Ak." He hacked specks of blue staining the ground and his arm. "Ah, that is my lung pierced and rib broken. I can feel the bits jittering around my lungs," he shouted in a panic before coughing again. "He stayed for us. Do you need help getting?" "Yes," he coughed. "Very much so. I don't think I can walk like this. I stayed to make sure at least one of you made it out. I can't do this on my own, not without the leader of this whole thing. Especially not now, not like this." I stumbled over to him, helping him stand by letting his arm hook around my shoulders. Jaivan leaned on me heavily as he limped. "I thank you. But why me? What can I do that Valor and the others can't?" Jaivan looked away from me, eyes to the floor, as he pointed towards a tram that was parked nearby. "We can take this tram. With my code we can get right into Sector 1. He started to move, but I called out as I followed. "Answer me. Why me? Why did you stay behind and almost get killed just for me?" "Because you were seen as the most dangerous of them all. You have made the facility ingested since your youth. Behavioral tendencies and markers that left you leagues above your fellow Venil. Quick on the uptake, incredible wit and determination not to counter the wall of the herd alone. That almost landed you in several PD facilities, but you somehow convinced your screeners on your own that it didn't count. You have an aptitude for adaptation, leadership, and a resistance to any external control that just made you invalid from just being encouraged into taking a magisterial position. The only reason you were mostly let be is because you chose to go into mechanical engineering, but look at how even that turned out. I mean, you formed a successful rebellion from a bunch of office drones and miners. When you were brought here to disappear in the maintenance work, your talents and skills haven't deteriorated one bit. I thought it'd be the best fit to bring you here." I trailed off as we boarded the tram. "What?" I huffed, punting as I held on to the tram's railing. "You think that I'm somehow more special than everyone? More special than Grelins or Lushat or Ulan? I thought I would find comfort in those that I thought I could actually follow. I wanted to not be alone for once. I have come to appreciate you and their company. I thought I would be above you, but you just got me thinking of how to do things to achieve your plan. You got me to unironically call it your plan. And all in only a few days. I'm sorry." It was interesting to hear him say all that. When he first arrived, he was a snob I didn't trust to not try and turn the plan to his advantage, so he came out on top. But here he sounded as fearful and uncertain as any other Venil who had followed me on this rebellion. "Then let's get to the rest of our rebellion. We have to get our plan done." I huffed, steadying myself once more. Everyone gathered into the tram after us, hobbling and stumbling inside. Iklik flopped into a seat as Trysil grabbed the emergency first aid box on the wall to start treating all our wounds. "We were blooded, bruised and down several friends, but we weren't beaten. We're not done. Not by a long shot." Tremors called below 8. Memory transcription subject: Jaivan Fussell, Rebellion Officer. Date: standardized human time, January 24th, 2137. How did I end up here? I was supposed to come and take charge of a ragged group and present myself as the hero of the coming humans. Venil was supposed to be beneath us. They weren't supposed to talk to you, to buy you drinks, to bar like an equal, to listen to your suggestions like they had weight. They were the ones we were imprisoning here to show we Fussell were in power. I was supposed to show I was smarter than them, not care for them. How was I supposed to narrow down what changed? I had explained where the self-destruct would beat, what access points there were, what security they would have to fight to reach it. Then Trent Ren just started talking, saying we needed to plan. I thought mine was enough, but he just started just improving it as he talked to everyone around that table. I didn't understand it at the time. Even if he had been seen as a risk, he was still just a Venil. He wasn't supposed to be smarter than me. I was one of the heads here. I'm the greatest geneticist on this worthless tidally locked slop bucket of a backwater world. Yet when he spoke to me after the meeting, when he laid bare all the reasons he had to not trust me and the amount of trust he was placing in me by doing so anyway, I wonder, is this empathy, true empathy, something I was found lacking in for so long, the ever elusive thing that we aim to categorize as an objectionable measure of sapience? Am I finally feeling it for these Venlils of all things? Why? Is it because of the slights I've struck upon them from the shadows? The crushing dread of approaching death getting to me? Senility of age catching up after so many years? Or is it not me feeling it for him, but instead experiencing it coming from him? I knew none of the other facile cared for me. I figured that when I almost got diagnosed with PD as a kid. Is this just me being starstruck by someone treating me as an equal in all senses? Am I that? I don't even know the word to describe what that would make me. I was never one for empathy. Those who witnessed my work knew that firsthand. I used my lack of empathy to my advantage. Reveled in it even. I could do things that so many of my peers were too scared to do, commit to causes they were too weak-willed to engage in, and say things that none dared to my superiors. It was this behavior that landed me this prestigious position after all. There was not an ounce of empathy in any bone in my body. I had turned myself into an engine driven by cold and feeling logic. But I had stayed behind for him in the attack. Because I didn't want to leave him behind. Because I had wanted him to trust me and to not let that trust down. Hey, Tren bleated, you've been staring a hole in my head since we sat down. You holding up, okay? Still processing that fight. I blinked, feeling the sway of the shuttle as my mind grounded itself again. A cuckoo exclamation, I'm just thinking. Trying to not pass out, I wheezed. I hope my fellows finished their mission. Fellows, Yosh said. Some friends securing the trans station in Sector 1. Exactly, asterisk guest, I coughed. The pain was starting to truly wear me down now. I felt terror creep up my spine as the thought of not being able to complete my mission overtook me for a split second. I stomped the thought down with a light clench of my paw. I didn't come this far to die at the finish line. If things went to plan, only one obstacle stood in the way between us and freedom. Jive and Tren said, catching my attention once more. I know we have talked about this before, but you will ask again. When we get to Sector 1, what should we expect? Where can we find the self-destruct console director's office? I shook my head, leaning back in the seat. Fear. Terror. Horror. Many will be scared of just seeing you there at all, being that there shouldn't be any non-fossil allowed in there. By now, hopefully my agents on the inside have secured our way in. With O17's desperation in throwing all of their resources at Sector 20, they'll have no one to interrupt us. As for the self-destruct, it's not in the director's office. It's not even in a secured section. Hiding in plain sight, as it were. There's just one more thing I want to know. With how many people they lost in that attack from the Glats and battle itself, if we were to demand their surrender, how many might want to do so? How much might such a demand fracture then? A blinked, a little surprised at how quickly he turned to such strategic and pragmatic thinking after all we had gone through just today. Numbers whirled in my head. Scenarios played out. I remembered the screaming and fighting over the last few months. It is impossible to tell, honestly, I said, sighing in defeat. The situation is complex. Tensions are high, and after everything we've seen, the transmissions from the surface, the reports of the warp dusk, the fossil homeworld, I don't know. This isn't something I can logically break down for once. Fear kills the mind, and it'd be apt for me to call my former colleagues quite brain dead at the moment. Tren flicked his ears forward in acknowledgement. He looked to be tired, stressed, but was going on anyway. It made me want to say something to ease that stress, but I didn't know what to say. I want to. It seemed, however, fate cared not for my words. The shuttle began to slow, the signal for our arrival. We're here, Tren stated, grabbing one of the guns and rising to his feet. We need to regroup with the rest of the revolt. Press our advantage, Jyvan. My ears flew up at full attention at my name. Will you be able to signal your contacts that we are about to start? Of course, I said, reaching into my coat. I tapped the small device 3 times quickly and the tram doors slid open. Outside the tram were a pair of facile guards armed with a pistol and a flamethrower, though they were keeping their paws up, making it clear they had no ill intentions to the other passengers. O5, sir, we've secured most of the route you gave us, one of them said, facing slight resistance near the restrooms, but we're confident we can punch through with a good approach. Good. We're close to ending this, I said, with my mind thinking about the addition of our entourage. The clock ticked closer to the finale. Soon enough this would all be over, one way or another. Tren exited behind me along with the rest of the survivors of their last stand. I don't think I will be able to predict the reaction of everyone at our survival. I had no doubt they would cheer at the sight of Tren, but there were still casualties. There really wasn't any other way that Pelvin would be here without Lucian nearby. As we were guided through the emptied offices and halls of administration, my guests could see the condition of even Sector 1. Desks were upturned and riddled with bullets, if not burned down to their metal components. Tables that once held documents and tablets cradled the wounded and dying, the appliances and machinery destroyed and swept aside for weapons and other equipment. I wasn't a soldier, not by a long shot, and even my attachment to this place was starting to strain against me, pain creeping up my very spirit at the horrible war zone our offices had turned into. I looked at the guards. What happened here? Where's the rest of the rebels? Caught up at the barricade by the second floor restroom, sir, one of the guards said. The director and O-17 were rushed in there already, and their guards are hunkered down. We're trying to weed them out right now, but we've had some difficulty. Dren's ears flew up. They're already starting the attack. The order was to regroup before we begin. What happened to change the plan? The director and O-17 were rushed into the restroom. A shouted before coughing, nearly falling over. They were right to start. We need to go. A stumbled down onto the floor as I tried to sprint, to burst of pain erupting in my chest as I hacked up a stain of blue blood onto the floor. Dren grabbed me and assisted me in standing again, confusion clear on his features. What's going on? Why is it important that they are in the bathroom? Dren said. The second floor, the restroom, it's where the self-destruct terminal is hidden. I choked out. My ribs felt like they were ablaze, but I couldn't let it slow me down. What? They're going to blow it all up. Now, why? You just wondered, I spat. Even if anyone was able to escape the collapse of the sector, it would have still been a loss of the majority of their fighting force. Dren's ears paused but then flitted to the negative. That wouldn't have been enough. Not on its own. I was about to respond but got cut off by the guards who had been guiding before we ran off, catching up. Sir, we have other news from the surface. He flipped open his belt pack and pulled out his datapad, showing us the screen. Footage from the topside base plate, a security feed from the loading zone for the elevator. The surface elevator. It was likely one of the first unobstructed views Tren had had of the outside since the hack that started this rebellion. And there were so many people seen by that camera. Dozens and dozens of moving bodies, Venel Godred, many kinds were there waiting with weapons and stretchers alike, security for first aid ready to go down. Standing amongst their numbers were tall shaped reflective face masks, helping them to stand out especially well alongside their blue armbands. The UN is here, I gasped out. But the humans, Tren whispered. Out of all of my planning, I did to count for them rushing to complete termination of the facility the instant the humans arrived. The director wasn't one prone to panic, but of course others would be. If all the others screamed at her to set off the fails, if they might not have a choice. Wait, O-17. My guard said O-17 was with her. Of course it was Vale. That paranoid idiot likely planned to set the fails if off the moment the lockdown happened at first contact. That brat has no grasp on the concept of legacy or preservation, just fear and panic. Tren stared at the screen, his features unreadable. Get me to where everyone is, hold up, he commanded. I need to make sure everyone is up to speed. Make them ready for our final push. The guard motioned for us to follow, taking us up a flight of stairs that I struggled a bit with. As we rounded a corner, we were brought to the second floors containing everyone that'd be here for the final push towards freedom. Squads of Fenlil Godgets, even the few Krakatal that were held here. And if my eyes didn't deceive me, about 10 Fossil huddled on their own at the edge of the crowd. Yes, it makes sense the rebels wouldn't automatically trust the defectors given my own welcome. It was very clear that I had not been able to meet everyone that was holding up in Sector 20. But I was still surprised of what must have been over 100 people. So many people watched us, the silence broken only by the occasional muffled sound of a bullet firing. We had to be close to the front line. Only a few hundred feet between us and the computer that rings our death knell. With numbers like this still stuck back here, their entrenchment must be quite thorough. Dren helped me to a seat nearby, where a Venlil carrying a medkit approached me. Where do you need me? Have you been diagnosed? Punctured lung, I coughed. That was all the attention I could spare her, as I was now watching Tren climb onto a table. His ears and tail signaled attention. All eyes focused squarely on the Venlil, the silence deafening as everyone waited for his words. I know what you're all feeling. The fear, the terror, the crushing dread over what they've done to us. Not just the Fossil, note, I mean the whole damn Federation, he declared, looking around the office. I know most of us are at our limits after everything that's happened. Months of starvation, the collapse at Sector 20, all of our friends and family kept away from us for so long we can't undo any of it. This pain, this suffering, this loss, we can't undo any of what's happened here. He paused so the words may sink in. But I know what we can get. We can get our future back. We can get the future for our pups back. It may not seem like it, but what we've learned here, what we can tell everyone, it'll change everything. He took the datapad he had been given out from under his arm and raised it into the air. I could barely make out it was still showing the surface camera feed. Right outside the main elevator, right on the surface we wish to return to, are dozens, maybe hundreds of people waiting to help all of us. Our families, our hopes and dreams, all of it's right in Paul's reach. Everything we sacrificed for is so close, we can't just sit here and give up. One more push. One more strike. One more break through these bastards' lines and we're free. It was almost deafening, the variety of cheers there were. Bleats, bellows, stomped, everyone showing their excitement for the coming battle. And despite it all, I felt it gripping me as well. One push once to the self-destruct room and we will have one. Just one more push. Tremors, cold blow 9. Memory transcription subject fail 017 of Thummer. Date standardized human time January 24th 2137. We're all going to die. This statement isn't one I make out of panic, but as a matter of fact. One day, however many months or years down the road, everyone in this facility would one day die. All I'm doing is speeding up the inevitable. All this is giving them a quicker painless death than what the predators would do to us. I nudged the stupid Venel along with my gun, trying to keep him in line while the director watched me. As we made our way through Sector 1, I made sure the security and exterminators kept three key locations secure. The offices leading to the director's office, the hallway leading to the elevator controlled, and the halls leading to the restroom on the second floor. Keep moving. I barked. Bailed, I know you're the director, started before I shoved the barrel of my gun into her assistant's neck. Stop. I hissed, I only need your hand for this, than harmed and alive. And you had better keep it that way on our walk. I don't even want you thinking about mangling that poor to spite me. She may deny it, but I knew she was thinking of that. I knew it was impossible they could have been thinking otherwise. Everything in the galaxy was falling apart at the seams, the world's gone mad along with everyone else in it. Except me. I knew the truth. I knew the facts. I know how this ends. The humans were probably up there slobbering all over the doors, clawing at the glass and waiting for us to let them in. I wanted to cry in fear, thinking of those monsters getting ready to devour us all, but I kept my resolve firm. I had to do what no one else would, apparently. 05 Shive and I should have killed him the second we went into lockdown. Telling the humans we're hiding out here. The predator diseased freak rang the dinner bell for the bloodthirsty things. And he would cheer them on like I knew they would. And now, we either surrender our flesh to them on a silver platter, or I take the only sensible option left. Final denial. A simple and fitting name to our only course of action. One last defiant action to keep our souls pure from the taint of the predator. Of course, the disease has spread too thoroughly in this facility. To think we'd been harboring so many disease monsters away for so long that the disease is this insidious and infectious. I'm lucky to have kept my mind intact this far. Gunshots rang out from the rooms nearby, signaling the encroaching doom from the diseased masses. I pushed my negotiating tool further along, trying to get them into the restroom. Once inside, I made my way towards the mirror in the middle of the row of sinks. Designation Orion Eclipse 17 Taos. Authorization code 1701 FEV. The tiles around the mirror hissed and creaked as the wall parted, revealing a vault-like interior. A cold steel interior shone with bright lights, the narrow passageway guarded by a pair of exterminators aiming at the door. One of the few that had stayed behind from that mission. If they had gone, we wouldn't have lost that sector. And I bet they knew that. But it doesn't matter anymore. They would sacrifice themselves as they should have in the end anyway. I pushed the Venel aside with my gun, keeping my other eye squared on the director. You get in first. I'm not letting you out of my sight. March now. The director's mouth moved as if to say something, but she kept quiet, unlike the gunfire outside. Louder and louder it grew, shouting, joining the cacophony of chaos as I pushed her along. Move. We don't have time to spare. I shouted, kicking their traitorous companion down the corridor to incentivize her. She moved to assist him in his labored movements, faking empathy to try and get me to lax my hold on the situation, no doubt. I knew her indecisiveness would be the death of us all, and it showed more clearly now than ever. Further and further down we went until we reached it. A single computer terminal with two mechanisms mixed to it on either side, with poor scanners and key slots. A simple yet terrifying sight. Such little fanfare for something that will be the death of thousands. Move into position, I said, pulling my key out of my belt. Try anything funny and I blow a hole into your Venel pet's head. The director looked at the panel and hesitated. WHY. Why? She really has to ask. Do it, or I will blow his brains out. How is that not clear? Her head twitched between me and the scanners. Well, Brock. They'll die if I go through with this anyway. You'll die too. So how does threatening to kill him early do anything? You'll kill us no matter what. So why should I do anything? That's what she was going with. I would have spit on her, but that would be an insult to Sliver. Because I'm trying to save our purity. Spare us all of the suffering the predators would inflict upon us. You saw what they did to Tulsk. What they're doing to Venel Prime. You've heard the masses screaming for the glassing of Arthur. You think if we surrender here they'll spare us? No. They'll make examples of us. Tausk could be a hunting ground for them now. A planet where they can freely chase down and eviscerate our kind to extinction. That's what they're doing. What would you rather your last act in this life to be, one of defeat? Or of denying the monsters their pound of flesh? She stepped back from me, keeping my gaze. And denying a monster their pound of flesh. How dare. A snort, grabbing the Venlo in my arms and pressing the barrel of the gun against his head. But as much as I might wish to be rid of him, she was right. By the damnation of the elders, she was right. If he dies right now, they have no leverage over her. The only thing worse than this realization was the crack of gunfire down the hallway. The idiots didn't seal the chamber behind me. The fighting was getting close. I had to do something, but I couldn't kill my only leverage. But I don't have to. I know now. She was right that I couldn't kill him. But I didn't have to now. I didn't have to kill him. My paw lowered the barrel away from his face. I only need to ensure they are not dying. I squeezed the trigger and his kneecap exploded in a spray of orange. The director screamed alongside her Venlo pet, the Venlo falling to the floor in agony as Shaolin rushed forward to try and help him. It sickened me that these tainted people acted like they still had any empathy left in them after everything that's happened. I kicked her away, keeping her from making contact with her pet. What is wrong with you? Shaolin shouted, tears rushing down her face. Don't act like this is anyone's fault but your own. I screamed. This is on you. All of our suffering here is your fault. If you want his suffering to end, then end everyone else's suffering alongside it. I brought my foot down on the Venlo's broken knee and pressed. He bleated again, his paw swinging in a desperate attempt to claw me off. But his hands had long been blunted, so their attempts were futile. It's up to you how long he suffers. It can either be gone in an instant or long and slow. And if you want it to end, get your paw on that scanner right now. The gunfire rang from the doorway, shouts of pain echoing down the hallway as I smashed the Venlo's knee again. Do I thee? Shaolin trembled as she stood up, her blood-soaked paw landing on the scanner as I pressed mine down on my own. It beeped in affirmation and the locked cases for the keyholes hissed open. I shoved my key in there and looked at the director fumble with her own before putting it in. Her eyes seemed hollow out as if she were a corpse already as the keys clicked in sync. The terminal lit up. I dashed for the controls. This was at the end of it all. Despite what everyone did, everyone moving against me, it was done. The lever was. My shoulder blew open. A line of blue turned a force like a truck colliding with me, throwing me to the ground. Bala stopped the program. A Venlo shouted as he rushed for the one I shot. Jaivan, help her if you can. Yosh, keep an eye on her. He said, pointing at me. No. Got it. Another Venlo said, helping O5 the traitor to the console. My code is O5JDN, he said, coughing. The all clear will sound. Now take the keys and smash them with whatever you have. Shoot their keyholes. We cannot let anyone have even a chance of setting this off again. No, no, no. I watched as the group destroyed the analog controls for the final denial and my hopes along with them. Dread crept through every vein in my body. Fear ran cold down my fur like ice cold water. I can't breathe. I can't move. I can. The only sensation left was the cold metal in my hand, the firmness of my pistol's grip. We did it. We did it. They cheered, their moronic cap in a swelling in the face of certain death. No, not death. A life unending, a life of not dying until your heart itself was finally devoured. I won't let that happen. They won't get me. None of them will get me. Hey. A voice barked, put that down. A mask kept on my arm, ripping the gun away from my temple. They were against me, they all were. They just wanted to see me in agony. They wrestled, thrashed. They fought my captors with every fiber of my very will, screaming as they tried to force me to suffer their fate alongside them. I won't. I won't. A well-placed kick granted me enough leverage to rip the gun out of their paws, letting me pull it on myself. They pulled again, denying me a clean shot to the head, but I'll take what I can get so long as I die before the predators touch me. It was in this moment I saw everything flash before me. The faces of those who ruined our salvation. The look of shock in their eyes. The pure fear in the director as she reached for me. They all blinked away as I pulled the trigger. It occurred to me as pain and shock overwhelmed me that I missed horribly. My body gave out as despair seeped the last of my strength through the new hole in my chest. I couldn't fight it anymore. This was my fate. This was my end. Tremors cold below 10. Memory transcript subject, Shaolin Thunder Director. Date standardized human time, January 24th, 2137. / All I can do is cry. For my venal friend. For my co-workers. For the needless deaths. For my incompetence. I cry for all of these and so much more. But most of all, I'm crying for the future that looks to be unpredictable. And I don't know if I have any way to change that. I saw Trelvin being grabbed off the ground by the other Venil. I had tried to move towards him to comfort him or do anything to help, but I was stopped and shoved back by the Venlil rebels, saying that monsters like me would never get to hurt them again. The pain from everything came crushing down on me, and I felt like I'd been dropped outside the facility. I felt cold, crushed, and alone. Everything I've done in my life, all of my work, my passion, my wants to help them, like the weight of a glacier, it toppled upon me and left me gasping for air. It felt like I was drowning in my own thoughts now. I could barely think straight. A paw on my shoulder snapped me out of my stupor, and I looked up at the Venlil shaking me. "Get moving," they huffed, "we are not going to leave you here, so get up." "I am my life's work," all of I stammered, incapable of finding a single point to focus on. "Yeah," I heard another Venlil shout in the periphery of my senses. "None of you get to jail us like cattle ever again. Spey Trent, why are you leaving her alive? They were part of the group trying to kill us all." "No. Wait, I never wanted to hurt anyone," I sobbed. "We weren't. I didn't approve of that attack, nor did I agree with this. I was held at gunpoint to turn the key." "Wait, I know who that is," I heard another voice shout. "That's Shalene. She's the director. She's the one who runs the whole place." I felt the mood shift. As angry as everyone had seemed before, it all seemed to now be directed at me exclusively. "I guess we got lucky stopping you when we did," one Venlil said. "Just couldn't live without the control over the rest of us, huh? Had to do everything in your power to make sure either the fossil or in charge or no one is." "That's not. I didn't want this. I didn't want to treat you all like prisoners or slaves. Other directors, the overseers. They wanted to." The Venlil who had shaken me out of my stupor placed his paw against my shoulder. "Save it. No matter what you say, it doesn't matter anymore. You've lost now, get going." He turned to the other Venlil in the room. "Anyone not escorting the injured or prisoners, tear out any piece of wiring in this place before you leave. We can't leave the possibility of self-destruct getting set off." I could hear the Venlil happily tearing up whatever they could as I was guided down the hall. There was only one place I could be going now, wherever they used as a temporary prison. The march down to the offices passed in a blurt, and I found myself in a room of a dozen or so injured fossil. What was once our break room for the floor was turned into a holding cell for those of my kind who surrendered. I was met with scorn and sadness as they all watched me get pushed in. "Director," one fossil said sarcastically. "Glad to see you're still up and running. Hope it hurts when they throw you to the predators." "Oh, give it a rest already," a woman screamed. "If they were gonna kill all the prey, they'd have done it already. Surrendering was our only option here. Either we hand ourselves over to them or the angry Venlil who probably wanna kill us more than the humans do." "Or speaking like we got a choice here," the sarcastic man huffed, "but oh, please do try to tell our captors how we're demanding things from them. That's obviously worked out so well." I stepped back from the group, leaning against the door. A fossil man scooted up beside me, his ears flicking in worry. "Director, what are we've lost? What are we going to do?" I wish I could answer him. I wish I had the strength to look him in the eye and tell him we were going to be okay, but I had no clue. I lost control of this entire facility the day Tast felt, and I knew it. We were hard set on a timer, and I ran it through to the end. For months I considered actually surrendering to the repercussions. My indecision, my worry, my fear, it killed all of these people. It nearly killed all of them. There wasn't any choice in the matter. I couldn't save anyone here. But maybe. Outside the room I could hear the Venlil guarding us talking. "So they're gonna let them in after all." "Well, yeah, not like we really have other options. Besides, they've been on Venlil Prime for months and they haven't done much to us from what the reports say." "Yeah, but I don't know, would it be okay to hand the fossil over to them? What if they just tossed them to the outer? I know we should hate them, but would you really want that for anyone? What's the other option here?" A distinctly non-Venlil voice asked. "We either open up that door and let the humans in or stay stuck down here until either the food finally runs out or the humans find a way to just cut their way in." "I just think that—" "Open the door," another voice commanded. "The director's in there and we need her code." Before I could move, the door slid open and I fell onto my back. I rubbed my head in pain, wincing as I saw one of the Venlil from earlier stand over me. "Jivan said you have the access keys to open the elevator," he said. "Pan them over." I looked at the Venlil as his paw extended out to me, expecting a device. I can't hand them over," I stammered. "She's right," I heard the non-Venlil voice called. "A lockdown is keyed to both the director's paw print and DNA." Unable to help myself, I leaned over to see who was speaking. "How did someone know that?" "Jivan." The injured fossil hobbled up to the doorway to poorly made crutch, helping him limp along, blood staining the edges of his mouth. "Hello, director. Well, perhaps that title isn't applicable anymore. Hello, Shalene." I could barely believe my eyes. Jivan was one of the most self-interested and arrogant people helping to run this place. How was he of all people working with them? "Jivan, why are you injured?" I said, rising on my mechanical leg. Did you get shot? He seemed to chuckle. No, just nearly cuffed, exclamation, crushed to death and blown to pieces during someone's attack on Sector 20. There, why you were caught in the crosshair there. And my esteemed guards as well. One died in the firefight. Pelvin. I felt the tears stinging again as another named his face and his history flashed before my eyes. Gone. Dead. All my fault. I think it's time to face facts, Charlene, he said carefully. I know how passionate you are for your subordinates. All this must be taking a toll on you. I nodded, choking back a sob while trembling. It's all my fault. Come now, you think you could have kept Vale from her zealous behavior for any longer? I'm shocked you managed to keep her as long as you did. Besides, Coffrey, we need you to make a choice now. I clenched my paws. I knew what he meant. What he wanted. I stepped forward and signed my tale in agreement. I know. Bring me to my office and I'll undo the lockdown. I'll open the doors. Good lass, Jyvern chuckled. I knew you'd make the right call. I just wanted what's best for everyone. It's why I took this position, why I aim to work here. I thought I'd be safeguarding their future helping then. The Vennel huffed at that. I could feel his disappointment and disapproval at my words. They were too little, way too late. It was a look of judging betrayal, seeking justice for stealing the lives of so many for so long. All my pretty words and justifications for a better world, but in the end all I've done is make everyone despise us, and for good reason. Stepping before the Vennel cohort, I took a deep breath. I surrender myself to the authority of the Vennel Republic and the United Nations. This facility's yours, I said, holding my paws out to the Vennel in charge. At this point it was a hollow gesture, but one I felt compelled to make regardless. They needed to hear it to know I meant it. Even if they don't believe me for the rest of my life that I only wanted the best, this was the first step I could take to trying to do better. Beside me's a look in Jyvern's eye caught my attention. He looked skeptical yet relieved. A look that spoke of a plan for his future that finally had a chance of coming to fruition. A plan for the future. As I marched, it hit me that I was likely to survive all this. That tomorrow I was going to have to wake up and do things again. Even if it was only things humans made me do, I would still be doing them. All we had set up here had failed, but I still had tomorrow. It felt almost impossible to think of that, but it still remained true. And I had planned for it. After all the loss, all the mindless carnage and death, I had to make it count. Make it all mean something. Let it be a lesson to help us save those who still have a chance. Maybe I can still save lives, make a difference for the better. Some way that wasn't imprisoning others for their entire lives. Wait, that's it. That's how I can help. As soon as I get to talk to the UN, I can confess to more than what's happened on Vennel Prime. I can let them know of what's happening everywhere else. I can keep moving. The Vennel bleated, I know you're still dealing with everything, but we need to get this done quick. I shook my head and started walking again. He was right. We needed to get this done. No more death. No more fighting. And no more being a willing tool for the Federation.